It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn with Dan Berger. Our guest today, a guy I love having in the studio, Nick Goldschmidt. GoldschmidtVineyards.com is the website. Let's talk about this Chard that we just tasted.
Yeah, this is... Sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
No, you go.
This is the 2018 Singing Tree Russian River Chardonnay. So this is an old vine. You know, we talk about old vine Zinfandel and old vine Cabernet, but actually this is old vine Chardonnay. So this was planted in 82.
Wow.
It's on a gold rich sandy loam, so it's still on AXL1, so pretty low yield.
Is this Dry Creek?
No, this is Russian River.
Russian River, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So there is no phylloxera in the vineyard. Well, very little phylloxera because it's on a gold-rich sandy loam, which is like a talcum powder soil and very little organic matter. So, yeah, we can manage to do this. And then secondly, it's not a clone. It's an old field selection, and it was selection.
What's the difference between a field selection and a clone?
Well, field selection was a collection of buds taken over preferred vineyards back in the 60s and 70s. Huh. So if you wanted to have high-end Muscadet, there was one called Rude, another one called Spring Mountain. Then there was the Sea, which this is, S-E-E. Wente was another one that you may have heard of. Bado was more spicy. Calera was cooler. Mount Eden was, yeah. So we had from warm fruit to cool fruit. And these was selected over a long period of time. And it wasn't until we had to change rootstocks from AXL1 over to these cleaner rootstocks that virus started to show up. And the only way to get around the virus was to take the virus out. And so that's why they created cloning of Chardonnay. So there's no clones in this. It's a old field selection, but, you know, it still produces about 2.5 ton an acre. And, retails for about $18. Killer.
Oh, man.
Here's a bit of...
Dan, talk about this, because this is a unique Chard to me.
You know, unique in one respect. Yeah, there's not very much oak, hardly at all. It's crisp because it's from Russian River, and therefore the acidity is really high. But the nice part about it is that it's rich in the mid-palate.
Rich in the mid-palate.
But keep in mind, Steve, this was served at virtual room temperature. This is like 65 to 70 degrees here. If you serve this down around restaurant temperature at, say, 42 degrees, 43 degrees, this is Chablis. This will be like sucking on a stone. So it's an all-purpose wine in a lot of respects. If you like them richer, serve it warmer. If you like them crisper, serve them colder.
Would you lay this down at all?
About 2 years. I would give it two more years because right now, it's a baby. Most people will drink it right away. I mean, they just buy it off the shelf, take it home, drink it, and get more.
And why not?
Yeah, and it's delicious.
Well, that's what I would do. Any other tricks to this Chard? Because it is unique.
No, I was telling Dan the first time I went to Burgundy, I was in Chablis, sorry, and I was in the winery, and I was 26 years old. I remember it vividly, and very famous winemaker, and he takes a sample of Chardonnay out of the tank, and I'm like, dude, this is fantastic. What sort of oak are you using? And he goes, Nick Goldschmidt, get the heck out of my winery. Because... You know, Chablis is made with very little, well, no wood.
No wood.
And I wanted, and what I tasted, of course, was the vanilla, creamy autolysis character that you get from 2 years on lees. And so I try to emulate that by using, and because I'm from New Zealand, I mean, people think making wine in concrete is cool, but in reality, we didn't have barrels in the 80s. We made everything in concrete. So this is sort of a retrospective winemaking for me. So today it's 40% concrete, but I'm gradually going to increase that, and it's 60% neutral wood. But I give it some juice lees contact. So after I press it, I leave it on the juice lees for about 10 days, and then I rack it and ferment it. And then we leave it on the wine lees as well. And I only do it on the wine lees because I'm a big low preservative guy, so I don't like to add a lot of SO2. So hopefully the wine will age longer because it's not going to oxidize because it's been used to that during the aging process.
I just got a text from Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn, saying, congratulate Nick on Wine of the Week today in the Press Democrat. It says Trig Point Chardonnay. Is that what this is?
Yeah, no, this is the Singing Tree, but the Trig Point is another Chardonnay that I make from a slightly different vineyard. Same philosophy. The Trig Point Chardonnay, all of our wines are available at Bottle Barn, and I really appreciate Barry supporting us.
And that's what he just said.
Yeah, no, he's a rock star. For those who don't shop Bottle Barn, man, you got to pop over there.
It's the only place to go.
The guy's a rock star.
As we say, that's where Wine Country buys wine.
Yeah.
He said he has plenty in stock of the wine of the week, the Trig Point Chardonnay. Ooh, $15.99. There's a deal.
What a price.
It shouldn't be $15.99. It should be a little bit more expensive than that.
But it's bottle
bar. You should run on down there. Barry's giving it away. It should be about $24. But, you know, Barry, so I'm not going to argue with him. But, $24 today only, $15.99 or whatever the heck he's doing. But, yeah. It was a great surprise to do Dan Berger and get Wine of the Week with Peg Melnick all on the same day. So there you go.
Peg Melnick. All right, yeah. So what are you guys tasting over there?
We got this wonderful red wine called Fidelity, and if you have a empty spot in your glass, well, crazy.
Yeah, this is a crazy story. So a buddy of mine, unfortunately, was on hard times. He'd sold his winery, and when he sold the winery, he wrote a contract for the grapes for 3 years. And so he calls me up and goes, this is 2002. He calls me up and says, Nick, I'm going to go bankrupt. I said, well, all right, let me come over. I'll try the wines. And the winemaker there is a great winemaker and good friend of mine. And I tasted the 2000, the 2001, 2002. The wines tasted great. We blended the Cab, the Merlot, the Petite, and the Franc all together for the three vintages. I called up a buddy of mine who happened to be the wine buyer at a small little retail store called Sam's Club Walmart. And they agreed to take all this wine, three vintages of wine, and we launched it on Valentine's Day. We called it Fidelity. Thing took off like a rocket. 2 years later, he calls me back and says, Nick, I can't sell the last 500 cases. The time's up. I said, dude, you know, I'm still working for Corporate World. I hadn't come out of the closet yet, you know. So I called up three of my distributors on the East Coast. They agreed to take the 500 cases. Next day, 92 points, Best Buy Wine Enthusiast. He calls me back and says, can I get my wine back?
Really?
So today, if you look at the label, again, pop on down to Bottle Barn, Fidelity, it has a broken heart on the label. And the broken heart represents some of the larger retailers that I no longer do business with.
I love that.
Let's put it politely.
What year is this?
2018, and today it's a blend. I've kept the tradition the same. It's the only blend I do. Wow. We make two wines under Fidelity, a Zinfandel and this red Bordeaux blend. Today, the Merlot and Cabernet make up about 85%, and the other 15% is a blend of Franc and Petite. And probably I'm going to keep it like that going forward. In fact, I'm planting a vineyard just for Fidelity now.
So. This is gorgeous. Tell me why I like this, Dan.
Well, it's a low tannins, Steve. I think that's one of the reasons why it's a red wine with not a lot of grittiness. In fact, if anything, the tannins are sort of grainy. They're there to support the wine and to make it so that it really works with food, but it's not really aggressive. So it's really easy to drink. It's really a drinker as opposed to something that you would want to put in the cellar. Now, I would put it away for 4 to 5 more years because I think it would benefit from that. But most people just buy it and drink it, and it's a reasonably priced bottle of wine. It's $18.
Jeez.
And that, to me, this
is... Well, Barry's probably going to give it away at 12 or something.
Yeah. Bottle Barn always does this.
Wow, that's delicious. What's the alcohol on this one? It doesn't seem
it says 14.3 on the label, but
it's
moderate.
We print the labels before we put the final blend in. So, no, it's usually between 14 and 14.3, so we probably put the higher end on the mark, on the label.
Man, that's delicious.
The marketplace is changing a little bit now. We're beginning to see some of these blends being more specific. Years ago, you would have seen more Syrah in these blends. Now you're not seeing Syrah anymore, and now you're seeing more homogeneity. That's a nice word. And that's exactly what you want out of a good blended red wine, so that the flavors are compatible from the aroma to the aftertaste. Now this next wine, this one's called Catherine Goldschmidt, Stonemason Hill, Cabernet Sauvignon from Alexander Valley. It's a 2018, and you don't have that one yet, Steve.
No, and I'm not going to. I'm going to let you guys talk about
it. Steve, you're a drunk behind, man.
Well, I gave my driver and valet, Raul, the day off, so I got to be cool.
Really?
Here. But,
wow.
This wine's more serious.
Well, this is 100% cab, Dan. So it's and it's a vineyard I've been working on since 1990. So if you remember the winery that I was working for back in the early days, this was one of the key vineyards that went into that. And I'm lucky enough to still be friends with the five owners. There is now five owners that own this one. It used to be one vineyard. Now it's been sold up, and there's five owners in this sort of a mini little valley. It's on the corner of Geysers Road and Red Winery Road. So it's just really, really unique. It's a difficult vineyard in the way that the end result makes the wine really approachable, but it's difficult in the way that it has high pH. So you get this sort of textural element. You get the structure of Cabernet and the freshness of Cabernet, but because the pH is a little bit high, you get this fleshiness as well. And
Dan, explain the pH situation.
pH is a measure of acidity, but it's not acidity. Acidity is measured typically as tartaric acid, and in this case, the pH is a measure related to potassium. The interesting aspect of this is that even though the pH on this wine is slightly higher, all that does in this case is it provides a little bit of softness and provides a little bit of buffering to the tannins. The tannins are there. There's plenty of tannin here. For aging, you could age this wine 20 years, but you could drink it sooner because the wine has a slightly higher pH. Now, it's similar to that wine in one respect. Acids are similar. This one has more tannin. This one's a little more aggressive in the tannins.
Now, you're saying 20 years, and of course I call you Dan Lay It Down Burger, but...
I've never heard that.
I've been calling him that for years. What would you do besides laying it down for 20 years?
I mean, decanting
for a couple hours?
Absolutely, Steve. And I think that we've talked about this over time.
Yeah.
If you get a bottle of this wine, it's a 2016, which was a very good vintage for acidity. So the acid here is high enough to provide the structural integrity for this wine to go with food. And that's important. But it also has enough acid so that you can put it in the cellar for 3 or 4 or 5 more years. And until you get to that stage where it begins to show bouquet rather than just simply flat aroma. Aroma is youthful, and bouquet is age.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So in this case, you have very, very little bouquet, even though it's already 16.
No, this is the 18. It's the six. The next wine we're going to have is the 16.
This is the 16. This is the 18.
18. Yeah.
Oh my, that's amazing. That's pretty. So this is not. I got the wrong.
Did I give you the wrong one?
I got the wrong sheet here.
Oh. Well, no, it's 18. Catherine,
okay.
18.
Okay. Well, but even so, the acidity here is what is carrying the wine, and there is no question that this will be good for at least 7 to 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, the trick, I think this is the interesting thing about old winemakers, you know, like we get to make wines from vineyards for a long time. So I've been making wine from this vineyard for 30 years.
Wow.
So I know how it's tasted in good years, bad years, low, heavy, you know, whatever. And you don't get that opportunity very often anymore these days because a lot of vineyards at 30 years get replaced. And anyway, this is an interesting project. We have five children, and Catherine is the middle daughter. And Chelsea's the oldest. She makes a Merlot with us. But when she was two, I traced around her head, and then she colored it, and that's where the label comes from.
Oh,
and
cool.
And yeah, so
yeah,
we started making a Merlot with Chelsea, and then Catherine wanted to start making wine with us too. And then Hillary is a Oakville cab. But Catherine, it's really interesting tasting with Kate because with Chelsea, everything has to be perfect, seamless, round, voluptuous, etc. But with Kate, Catherine, she wants to have a little bit more tannin in the wine, so it just gets this little kick on the back of the mouth. And so whenever I drink this wine, I get the silkiness all the way through, and then right on the end, as Dan pointed out, you just get this hit of tannin, and that's because Kate always wants to put one of those elements back in there that gives us a little bit more of a dense character, and that's what I see.
So the wine has a little bit more length to it and a little bit more time in bottle.
You said it's 2016?
No, 18.
18.
2018.
No, but the next one.
The next one.
Okay, I got to taste the 2016. Yeah,
this is the wine.
And by the way, our guest today is Nick Goldschmidt, goldschmidtvineyards.com. And before we talk about this 2016, Nick, talk about the tasting room, which according to the website, it says you guys opened your first ever tasting room June 13th, 2020.
Yeah, perfect timing.
Not a great time to go that way, but you guys are open and you're doing outdoor tasting and stuff.
Yeah, we are. Well, I mean, we went out on our own with our own company in 2008. Not a good time to start. So why not start a tasting room in the middle of a pandemic? So, it can only get better. So it's out on, it's a halfway out on Dry Creek Road. It's called the Poor House. We share the tasting room with two other little wineries, two other little brands. It's a small little tasting room. You can only fit like six or seven tables in there.
But you're doing outside tasting.
It's all outside. So outside we have three tables out, and then we have a little picnic area further down where we have six picnic tables that you can go in social distance down there, and we come and look after you out there as well. And we're not pouring the wines that are freely available in restaurants and retails. The only wines that we're showing up there are really, really small, you know, 100, 200 case lots. So really unique wines really special little vineyards.
And I'm assuming, like most other wineries, they need to go to call you guys or go to goldschmidtvineyards.com and make reservations, right?
Yes.
You can't just pop in and go, hey, I'm here. I heard you on the drive.
433-8277 is the number, 433-8277. You can call the office and we'll set up an appointment for you. And, it's cool. It's really exciting.
Okay. And, again, we basically don't give out phone numbers because so many people are driving and doing it. You know, they can't.
Don't write and drive then.
No. Go to goldschmidtvineyards.com. You got all the information, including the phone number, and you can make reservations for a wine tasting. Dan?
I'm impressed with the 16. The acid seems to be higher. I mean, the acid is listed at 6.5. It seems a little bit higher than that because there's a crispness to it, which I really, really love. And what I really especially like about it is how it will work with red meat. Because this
Give me lamb, baby.
Well, this might be okay with lamb. I think more likely a kind of a thick, juicy grilled steak.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of protein in the steak.
Oh, and God.
This wine has got that you need a wine like this to deal with the steak, and you need the steak to deal with the wine. So,
It's lovely, and I'm telling you, the finish, it kind of slaps me and says, steak, Steve, calm down.
Yeah, the fatty element, like Chateaubriand or melt in your mouth. But this is the Yeoman. So this is one of our more expensive wines. We only make 300 cases of this. It's
wow.
This vineyard sits above the Catherine Vineyard, so similar profile in that it has the higher pH again. This is the current release, actually, the 2016 Yeoman, but it's just an old terraced vineyard, so it goes... Normally, I pride ourselves on having vineyards that face east because the morning sun is less damaging than the afternoon sun, but this one is a terrace, so it goes from east to southeast, so... It's a cool site. So I make a lot of wine, obviously, in Napa as well. But what I get from the Alexander Valley is more red fruit. So you get the red cherry, blueberry, black cherry with a little bit more acidity.
And I'm getting all that in the taste and the palate. And then it kicks my ass in the finish.
Well, the key element for me is because it's east-facing or southeast-facing, it's cooler. So you get a little bit of that black fruit that's more classic with Napa.
Right on.
So you get that black cherry plum character and it gives that sweetness to it, which...
Oh, man.
You know,
I'm also getting a little bit of wild thyme, a little bit of dried thyme.
California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn, Dan Berger, and the great Nick Goldschmidt. Go to goldschmidtvineyards.com. You can do some outside tasting in their new tasting room. Do it. And Nick, it's great to see you, and always a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having us on.
All right.
One of the things I do every day is Instagram or my YouTube site. So we didn't talk about this, but I also work in six other countries. And,
of course you do.
So each day in a different country, when I'm traveling, obviously we're not traveling much these days, I'll put up something on YouTube about what's going on in that place, in that country. And I'm usually with really famous winemakers, and I just hang on with them. And I'm an old bugger now, so I'm sort of the sage guy, and really, really interesting stuff.
Nick, great to see you, buddy.
You too, mate. Thanks right. again. I'll see you again, in two more years? Is that what it is?
No.
Is
we need to do it sooner. We need to do it sooner than that. And Dan Berger, we'll see you next week. Okay, that's it.
I'll leave you the Chard.
Thank you.